You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Way to save the season, the throw, fire!
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Lightning Round Podcast. You've got me, Jamie, and our boy Craig here, and we are here to talk about the defensive tackles in the 2024 draft class. So we've got five guys that we had on our list that we both watched, and we're going to talk about them. And then from there, we're each going to introduce a sleeper that we liked. So not to bury the lead too much, but this is not a very exciting defensive tackle class. So there wasn't a whole lot to cling to with most of these guys, but there were a couple of fun guys to watch. So I am going to go ahead and start by introducing the first person that we watched. And I think this is somebody that everybody wants to hear about right off the bat. So we're going to go ahead and talk about Illinois defensive tackle Johnny Jerzar Newton. So Craig, why don't you go ahead and kind of introduce Newton, and then we'll kick it back and forth and talk about things that we liked and didn't like and how we see him.
So yeah, I'm going to start off by first saying, as far as this class is concerned, this is the year of semi-undersized interior defensive linemen, a lot of three-tech guys, a lot of easy movers, but definitely not a stacked class. But towards the top, there are some fun names, I guess. Johnny being the best of the bunch, in my personal opinion, but we're talking about 6'2", 304-pound kid. Interestingly enough, he literally fits the mold of what I've been asking for a Chargers player in previous years' schemes, an interior disruptor, and he's that to the T. We're not just talking about, you know, a guy who's really stout against the run, because he isn't, but he does play it very well. Like, he'll often muck things up enough for the guys around him to rally and make plays when he can't. But his burst and pursuit is really freaky, and you see him run down plays from the backside, but also, like, when he shoots through a gap, quarterbacks don't have a chance. There's really no opportunity to react. You just got really easy, explosive acceleration. And like I said before, as far as the effort is concerned, no play is safe. You know, he'll flatten down the line of scrimmage and catch something from the backside. He'll even run some plays down that beyond the line of scrimmage 5 or so yards, but the effort is definitely there. Like the hands and the feet are great together. They work in unison. So a lot of his wins come because he gets his hands on opponents first, and then like they're on their heels like immediately. So they're like right away in recovery mode. Then like I've seen him move around a bit. Like he can play some five tech, but he's best suited as a three. So I like him more so in an even front. Could he play maybe 4-eye or something like that? Yeah, but I don't think that's where he's best suited. He's also super natural in stunts and games as a looper. When I talked about him flattening down the line of scrimmage and chasing plays down backside, it works the same in these stunts and games as well, because the athleticism is on full display. Again, he's not the stoutest guy, but for someone over 300 pounds, he carries the weight really well, and the functional strength and athleticism just kind of matches up. When we're talking about the perfect overall blend of like skill, natural athletic ability, and high motor, again, this is the type of player that I think the Chargers have needed in years past. Does it really align with what they would be looking for now? I actually don't care, because I think he would fit regardless. I know that they like to be a little bit bigger on the interior, but a talent like this, I don't think if you have an opportunity to grab him, you know, just kind of depending on what you're looking for in the first round, because I think that's where he belongs. You couldn't really pass on him. I guess maybe somewhere towards the middle of the first round, but just awesome all the way around. Really good hand usage, the ability to win with secondary counter moves. Again, he's already got like 3 to 4 high level moves in his bag also. So he's not one dimensional, but my favorite move of his is the push pull. It works almost every time he uses it. And some of the better games that I saw him perform in this year in particular were against Penn State and Kansas. And Kansas has a pretty good interior offensive line guy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but Newton was having a field day with him. But that push pull move, if you have that as an interior defensive lineman, you can work so many other moves off of that, because offensive linemen really can't gather themselves. They can't get caught flat-footed. They can't get too much momentum going forward, because you can use that to set up other counters. And so a lot of the time you see him winning almost immediately, but if he gets that move off first and early, then whoever he's up against, especially if he's going against the same guy multiple times all game, he's going to get more wins than not, because they're kept off balance virtually the entirety of the game. So as far as the grade goes, I have a 88. So that kind of comes out to a higher second round grade. But here's the thing with this class. The talent, again, super top heavy. So a bunch of these guys will get moved up the board and they'll probably go higher than they should. But that's not to say Newton isn't a first round talent. I really do believe that he is. I just, again, I'm a little bit of a hard, you know what, in grading this season. But Newton is a definite first rounder in my book. It's just the way that the grades came out. He didn't quite reach 90, but to me, in my eyes, he's a first rounder.
Yeah, I mean, with an 88 in this class, he's probably going to wind up being like a top 15 to 20 pick at once the grades are all said and done, I think. So even though he didn't get a 90, I would agree he's a first round pick. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a couple things that I thought that really stood out to me. One was the move set. The push pull move is killer. He also happens to have a really good bull rush, which makes for a pretty good combination. If you're not really sure if he's going to drive you back or yank you forward, kind of makes it tough to prepare for him. He's also got a stab move to the inside shoulder. There's a rip, there's a club, and he's got a swim move. So his rush set, his rush arsenal or repertoire is really, really advanced for a kid coming out of college. I mean, he's pretty well, he's ready to go from a pass rushing perspective. He's ready to go for the NFL. You can throw him out there day one and he's going to get to the quarterback. The other thing that you mentioned is the closing speed. I mean, the guy closes like a freight train. If he beats his man through the gap, forget about it. If you're anywhere near him, you're going down. And he finishes. So he finishes inside his frame and he finishes outside his frame. You're not going to avoid him. Newton, a lot of fun to watch. He played some some nose tackle, played some three technique, played some five technique. I do think if he bulks up a little bit, he could probably play some five technique. You could also potentially see him as like an oversized rush end in a 4-3. He punishes people. I mean, you watch the Wisconsin tape, and there was another game that I watched. I'm forgetting who it was. Might have been Rutgers. I can't remember who it was. But there were two games in particular where he just annihilated. And I mean, the word is humiliated. He humiliated the opposing offensive line. Just abused them. And he might not make a lot of plays in the running game, but like you mentioned, he regularly resets the line of scrimmage, and he's disruptive just by moving people, moving guys in front of him. So that alone helps make him effective in the running game. You mentioned the backside pursuit, really good there. And he's disciplined versus the read and zone option. He doesn't over pursue the mesh point at all, and he plays through the whistle. I think the only thing is, you know, he was listed at 305, but I think he played somewhere between 280 and 290. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to bulk up to take on double teams. He's not going to be a space eater, but that's not what you're drafting him for anyway. There is a little bit of hips and ankle tightness sometimes that can make changing directions a little bit of an issue. And there are times where he can be a bit of an overzealous finisher and draw penalties for hitting quarterbacks a little bit too hard, which I think sometimes those are penalties you'll take. And there are times where he'll overrun guys after easy wins. He'll overrun the quarterback or the running back, just taking a bad angle. So there are definitely some things to clean up, but I had an 89 on Newton, so we're right in the same ballpark. I'm sure he's going to wind up being a top 15 to 20 pick for me by the time we get to through all the grades. But a lot of fun to watch. In my opinion, I don't know how your grades came out, but in my opinion, heads and shoulders above the rest of this defensive tackle class. I mean, I didn't really think there was anybody all that close to him on any level in this class.
Yeah, I don't think we're far off there. I mean, I was so into watching Johnny and all his positives, I kind of forgot to mention some of the things that I didn't think were great, which were kind of few and far in between, but you mentioned a lot of them. Some of it has to do, well, the majority of it has to do with the size. I don't mind having a high effort guy that has a tendency to overrun plays. Like, he runs hot, so that does happen every now and again just because all he knows is 100%. But it's that lack of length and like overall size that can make him kind of a target against some of those heavy gap and power teams. They'll run right at him. And as far as just kind of trying to anchor down against double teams, he has the anticipation to prepare for it. So he'll like set his base, and I've seen him split a double team or two, but it's not something that you want him doing with any regularity. And like you mentioned, like, I'm looking at the weights, and I'm, you know, this is kind of where he weighed in come combine, but, you know, 300 pounds was not his playing weight. So he's gonna have to put on some bulk, or they're gonna have to put him next to a guy that can kind of keep him clean, take on more double teams, and allow him to have one-on-ones.
Yeah, real quick, we just wanted to get to a question we got. Didn't address this at the top of the show. Garrett is a youth basketball coach, and he is coaching, I think, two all-star teams, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they're playing games they're playing a tournament today.
Yeah, I think something like that, yeah.
So he is with his son coaching all-star basketball. So that's where Garrett is, and that's why we're here doing this without him, but he'll certainly be on the next time we do a show. So thanks for asking. That's where he is. So let's move on.
Yeah, next guy up. We're going to move over to Mr. Chris Jenkins. Michigan Chris Jenkins. So if that name rings a bell, you know, because you watched some of his performance there with Michigan under Harbaugh, so you know he's one of his guys. Tell me a little bit of what you watched on film with Chris, Jamie.
So Jenkins is a pretty stout run defender. He isn't really the ideal size for primarily a run defender, but he's very strong. He's very athletic. He's disciplined, uses his hands well. He has shown the ability to hold up against double teams. I think there are positives in his game in terms of his athleticism and how he defends the run, and just that he's very steady. Like, there's no glaring weaknesses in his game in terms of mistakes that he makes or anything like that. I'm just trying to get my notes here. I think he's probably okay. Ideal length for playing inside. He's almost always first with his punch. Packs pretty powerful hands. Jenkins also shows savvy in the way he manipulates the offensive lineman and disengages to make plays in the run game. He's at his best really in one-on-one situations in the run game. Flash quickness to split occasional double teams. Flash a decent inside spin move and a swim move and a bull rush. The motor always runs hot. He doesn't take plays off. He plays hard. He plays through the whistle. If he has an opportunity to finish, he generally does. I think what I struggled with Jenkins is finding a fit for him. He played a lot of nose tackle. He played a lot of three technique. He also played some five technique. There are no real pass rushing chops for Jenkins. He's listed at 300 pounds or 290, but I think he played at more like 275 or 280. He's pretty undersized for a guy who's a primary run defender. The rush attempts stall out pretty quickly. Once he gets engaged, the hands kind of stop, and he has a hard time finding counters and getting free of blockers as a pass rusher. The bulk to play nose tackle just isn't there, so the role that he played in college isn't really something that he's going to be able to play in the NFL. He also lacks, like I mentioned, he lacks a rush plan, and he also lacks counters to play three technique. He's probably not going to generate much in terms of a pass rush at the next level. I think the contact balance can also be a bit of an issue. There are times where he's falling down or getting pulled off balance. He's kind of an enigma in my opinion, because he plays like a space eater. He's not really a playmaker versus double teams, but I don't think you want him facing double teams on a regular basis at the next level, just because he's pretty undersized. He's also unlikely to be, he's unlikely to be more than a pocket pusher at the next level. I think he's going to be kind of a mid-level disruptor and be able to move the pocket a little bit, but he's not really somebody who's going to generate a whole lot of pass rush. There's a lot of talk about him being an athletic freak. I think he was on Brugger's list of freaks. Mm-hmm. But the tape doesn't show that, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree, Craig, but I didn't see that freakish athletic ability. I just saw a guy who kind of stuck to blocks. He did his job. He plugged his gaps. He'd make a play here and there when he could, but there wasn't a whole lot to really sink your teeth into. And there wasn't a whole lot to get excited about for me. I'm just not sure that he's going to ever really offer enough as a rusher to be more than a three down defensive tackle. And I really would have thought that a guy whose father was a Pro Bowl offensive or defensive tackle, I should say, would be much more developed in terms of counters and hand usage. And he just isn't to me. So I had a hard time with that evaluation. I graded Jenkins at an 80, which is a late second or early third round pick. In terms of our grading scale, he's probably going to wind up being, my guess, somewhere in the 40 to 50 range by the time we're done grading these guys. But I don't know, for all the hype he's getting, I don't get it. It doesn't add up for me. What do you think?
So interestingly enough, like, a lot of what we saw was similar. Well, not really interestingly enough, but it happens a lot. As far as Jenkins is concerned, I went into looking or watching him with the frame of mind of a guy that I was going to be excited about. I mean, I was just following Michigan throughout their run to the national championship. And also, for some of our younger viewers out there, Jamie already alluded to it, this is a guy that has the pedigree. He's the son of a three-time All-Pro. Chris Jenkins was an animal with Carolina specifically and during his time with the Jets. So his dad just had a bigger frame, much more stout, as far as his size is concerned. But Junior really took on the mold of the run stopper as well. I think dad kind of had a little bit more in his bag as a pass rusher, but also more of a run stopper. The first thing that jumped out to me was like his strength against the run, especially for a guy, like you mentioned, maybe 280, 285 is what he played around. He definitely checked in at the combine, like a hair under 300, but you know how these guys do when they show up to Indy, especially when they're the linemen, they want to put on as much good looking weight as they can. He can really anchor against double teams, which was surprising to me because someone of that size shouldn't be able to, but he's really stout. That's where, and you mentioned this, him being on Bruce Feldman's freaks list, I think where it showed up to me was the ability to anchor down against double teams because he shouldn't be able to do that at his size. As far as the overall athleticism, it didn't really show up to me on tape either. But you know, with regard to some more of the positives, I think he has the versatility to hold up in either an even or an odd front. I saw him play a little bit of everything from 3 through 5 tech, and there was next to no fall off. But at 5, he still wasn't generating a lot of pass rush. He was more of an edge setter as a 5 tech. So getting after the quarterback, he wasn't tremendous in that regard. I love his pad level. He plays with a really natural and strong base and gets pretty significant leverage. And I think he has the tools to grow into like an effective power rusher at the next level because, again, he's got the base. He's got strong hands. He has a decent punch. As far as those finesse moves, I don't see the athleticism to pull him off. But if he can become maybe even just an above average power rusher, he can set up some moves off of that. But it's like you mentioned, I'm not sure that he'll ever be a guy that you're going to be counting on to get after the quarterback because he's kind of a tweener. He's never lacking effort, and he plays like every single snap with intention. Now, as far as some of the other negatives, I mean, I kind of spoke to a couple of them, but even though he's really elite at stopping the run, like, again, that's probably going to be his primary purpose until he develops more of an arsenal. And it is a little strange, you know, his dad being who he is, that he doesn't have more in his bag quite yet. And the technique really needs work. I didn't see much of anything in the way of counters when you're talking as a pass rusher. And like you said, if the first move doesn't work, he's done. And the first move was typically a power move. So if he just couldn't out muscle a guy, then 9 times out of 10, it was going to be a stalemate. He'd be kind of neutralized from the play. But, you know, when the power moves worked, it looked good because, you know, he can, you know, force his way through a guy, push his way through his chest and get to the quarterback and at least get him off of his spot. I also expected him to be a little bit better tackler. It was, I'm not going to say it was alarming, but it threw me off a bit. And if you get to the quarterback, I saw a couple of times where he got to the quarterback and he was stiff-armed or running back. And I think that's because he's not the longest guy. So that may affect him at the next level as well. And it's cool to see all of the testing that was done at Michigan that got him on the Feldman's freak list. But as far as it translated into the field, I didn't see a ton of it. Overall, I like Jenkins, but I struggle with, again, like you mentioned, the fit. I understand where he's good, but will that be enough to warrant a high round pick? So I actually had him graded at a 75. So that's a mid third, you know, closer to upper third. If he went higher, I wouldn't be surprised. If he fell to the back end of the second, I'd get it too. Just kind of depends on when the run starts. But a lot of these guys, as I mentioned before, probably go earlier in the draft than where I have them graded just based on need and where the run starts.
Yeah, I had a kind of a tough time with the evaluation. I went back and forth. I think when I first put the numbers together, I was at like a 78 or a 79. And then I talked myself into going up a couple points. But I'm just not sure. I think the fit is the biggest question with him. I think he could probably be pretty stout as a 5 technique as long as you're okay with not getting any pass rush out of that position. I just don't see it as a 3 technique because of the lack of pass rushing chops. I mean, there's nothing. Like you mentioned, if the first move doesn't work, the first move is usually just trying to strike the guy with his hands and then he's done. Like, and his hands just kind of stop. There's just not a lot of hand technique or hand fighting there. And you can teach that, but you kind of need to have some of that going into the NFL, I would think. Just to show that you have the aptitude to learn some of that stuff. If you haven't learned it by now, it's probably going to be kind of tough to learn, especially coming out of a program like Michigan, where you know they're teaching that stuff and it's still not showing up on tape.
Yeah, I definitely expect him to be more of a technician So the fact that he has so little, like literally one move, it was really surprising to see. A little disappointing, actually.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, well, I've seen him going early in the first round. I've seen him going in the second. To me, like mid to late second, early third kind of makes sense. As long as you're just looking for a run stuffer, maybe a base end in a 4-3, maybe, I don't know. Just a tough thing. Maybe he slims down. Maybe if he slimmed down, he'd be a little bit more explosive. It's hard to say.
I just don't see the athlete. I mean, if he was playing at 275 and there wasn't much quickness or twitch, then I mean, how much more are we going to reduce him down to at that point?
Yeah.
Before, you know, you start getting diminishing returns.
Yeah, that's a fair point. All right. So the next one, the next defensive tackle that we reviewed was Duke defensive tackle Dwayne Carter. So Craig, why don't you tell me a little bit about what you saw with Dwayne?
Yeah, so Dwayne Carter's actually been on my radar for a bit, just because I would say a few months back I was scanning through players trying to find some interesting guys that I think might be fits, and Carter caught my attention. And the more I watched, the more I liked. So like right off the bat, I think he's pretty versatile. I mean, I watched some snaps, of course, come at 3-tech, but he showed some versatility and played some 4 and 5 as well. If you need a one gap penetrator, check, he can do that. If you want an odd front two gapper, Mr. Carter can more than pull his weight there. He's really nice anchor when he has to maintain ground against double teams, and he steadies his base when he anticipates them. So having the ability to read when a double team is coming is really important if you're going to play on the interior, because it doesn't mean that you're going to win against it or be able to split it, but you have to be able to kind of hunker down and hold your ground and not get destroyed and blown out of the play. And he does a really, really good job at anticipating when it's coming and then like kind of steadying himself to not get like completely destroyed and then give up a huge chunk within one of his gaps, or if he's playing two gaps or whatever. His punch is more of a strike. It doesn't really like stun offensive linemen. He really staggers them. He kind of forces these really quick recovery sets. So as an offensive lineman, you just have to be ready, because you're not just going to get your basic punch. He's striking you to essentially throw you into the backfield. He's trying to muddy up the backfield, and then he'll get upfield to see if he can disrupt one of those lanes, shoot a gap, get after the quarterback, or make a tackle in the backfield against a running back. So it's not really a punch as much as it is just this like violent strike. He doesn't really have like an elite first step, but it's a quality first step. And he also varies his speeds when he gets off of the line of scrimmage to throw offensive linemen off. So again, I probably haven't even said this yet, but he's a very intelligent player. He's an older guy. I think he's 23. So he's got the experience, but it shows in his play because he has like an advanced setup array. Like as far as the movements, like as far as what he is as a pass rusher, he's got a ton of moves in his bag. He's a surprisingly adept pass rusher. Again, not overall elite first step quickness, but he does also come, like I said before, with a nice pass rush bag. I saw like a push pull, a club and arm over, bull rush. He actually did a hesitation swipe. I've not seen very many young guys in college do that at all. So like when you're doing hezzy swipes, then you're really confident in your game. And he even has a spin move to complement it too. And I don't think I saw many guys in this class utilize a spin move. So as far as like what he can do off of the line of scrimmage as a pass rusher, he's pretty advanced. This is a three down lineman with like ability to both force a QB out of the pocket and stifle the run. So when you're talking about versatility, he can do both. And whether or not that fits, well, yeah, any defense can use that. The Chargers, as we learned, had like a little bit of a thing, or they have a little bit of a thing for, I think his name is Tanner Bordelloni, center out of Wisconsin, I think we found out. So not sure how many of you guys watched the Senior Bowl, but during those practices, he got some reps against Carter. And there's this one particular rep where Carter like rocks Bordelloni to sleep with these stutter steps to set him up. And then the second Bordelloni gets flat-footed, like expecting like a finesse move, Carter runs right through his face. So for everyone out there that play football, you know those days, like you play games, you went in and you watch tape, And as an offensive lineman, it's a really bad look during film to have your coaches and teammates sitting in a room with you as that play rolls where a guy puts you on your back with your legs in the air and like the please be gentle pose. It's nasty work. You don't want to be that guy. And so that's what it looked like. That's exactly what that rep looked like. So, I mean, I know the Chargers had to be paying attention to it. If they like Bertoloni, then they had to have seen this guy, and I'm sure they've done their homework on him as well. Now, when we're talking some areas to be concerned about, there aren't a ton. I mean, he just isn't a superior athlete, so you won't be talking about a guy who's chasing down runs backside, say like a Newton does. He's not that level of athlete. His sack numbers dipped year over year. He went from 8-22 down to 2 last season, so that production wasn't actually there. He still did get after the quarterback and create some pressure. Duke, I mean, it's Duke. He didn't have a lot surrounding him. And he really needs to improve his ability to shed after he stacks. Sometimes he can just really get held up and neutralized against bigger bodies. And like I mentioned before, the dude's 23 years old, so it's an older prospect. But the thing that offsets that is that he comes into the league already pretty finely tuned. So he'll be able to step in and contribute day one. I really like Dwayne Carter. I've seen his name pop up here a lot. Initially, to me, he was going to be my sleeper, but that's not the way it worked out. And I don't think he's a sleeper anymore anyway. A lot of people have started to find out about him, and he's growing a fan base here. So as far as the grade is concerned, I gave him a 77, which is an early third round selection.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
God, this is scary. We're on the same page with the grade. So Carter was really, really fun to watch. He's a guy who I think the first things that stood out to me with him were the hands. His hands, like you mentioned, super heavy. He punches through offensive linemen. The feet are extremely quick and the hips are pretty loose. You mentioned the moveset a lot like Newton, like we talked about. He comes to the league with a very well-developed moveset. There's a bull rush. There's a swim move. I saw a club, and he flashes a spin move. The thing that kind of that I found interesting, though, was a lot of those pass rush moves he uses in the run game. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of spin moves to get back inside to make plays in the run game, whereas they didn't seem like they showed up that much as a pass rusher. But if he can do them in the run game, he can do them as a pass rusher. So that's something I would expect to be developed at the next level. I saw him consistently use his hands to shed and try to make plays in the run game. He's able to leap from gap to gap. So he can be a one gapper. He can be a two gapper. Like you mentioned, he plays really hard. Carter is extremely tenacious against the run. He likes to punish offensive linemen with his hands, and he's always looking to try to chase somebody down. There's a lot of hustle plays up and down the line of scrimmage, where he may not be chasing guys down behind the line of scrimmage, but he's getting them within a couple yards of the line of scrimmage just because he's not giving up on plays. The pass rush wasn't where I thought it would be, but I think it's there, and I think it's coming, and I think with the right coaching, the pass rush that he had in 2022, I think is going to be more present as he progresses in the NFL. I think Carter is a guy who is immediately able to make a difference, as a three technique, at the very least as kind of a situational pass rusher while he develops as a run defender. I could see him, you know, playing base end in the 4-3. I could see him playing three technique. He's also, I think, big enough and good enough as a pass rusher to play five technique. So if you're looking for a defense that plays multiple fronts and needs guys to be able to execute on different kinds of schemes, certainly Carter can do that. The knocks on him, I felt like he frequently loses sight of the ball, or he'll run himself out of plays. He's so quick at times getting upfield, or so occupied with trying to batter offensive linemen that he loses track of the ball or he'll just overrun plays. Carter doesn't really have a rush counter when the bull rush stalls. Like I mentioned, I saw a spin move, but I generally saw the spin move used to get back to running plays as opposed to countering the bull rush. The bull rush is very good. I think if he developed a push-pull move, like the one we talked about with Newton, he could be just absolutely deadly to block. And I think I saw some evidence there where he's not really aware of blocking schemes or what offenses are trying to do to him to stop him. Like he'll penetrate and then run right into a puller or a kickout block or something like that. The technique, the hand technique has to develop. The rush plan has to develop. And I think versus double teams and really strong, powerful single blockers, he can be moved off the ball a little bit too easily at times. So he's going to have to be a little bit better with that anchor in the run game and be a little bit more consistent in the run game. But I do think there is a role for him in the NFL. Even if he never gets past being a situational pass rusher as a three technique, he's going to be a really, really good situational pass rusher as a three technique. But I do think there's more there. And I think he's a guy who's going to be, because he's a little older, I think there's an aptitude there for him to be coached up and play in multiple fronts. So I also have a 77 with Carter. I think, you know, late second, early to mid third is a sweet spot for him. And you're going to get somebody who's probably going to outperform his draft spot.
Yeah, for sure. This is just kind of one of those players where, like, you and I personally, we're watching and we learn more about him as we get into just our breakdowns of all these players. I'm sure that he's really high in the NFL radar, because if we're seeing this, and there's no way they're missing it, especially when he shows up again to the Senior Bowl. I mean, it's Duke, it's the ACC, so they play some pretty decent competition. But just showing up and putting one of the guys that the Chargers really like on skates the way that he did, I know that has to mean something. But next up, moving on, the biggest boy of the group, Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, Mr. 6'4", 366 pounds. What do you think about him, Jamie?
He is a big boy. Let me see if I can find him here. Give me 1 second. So Sweat for me is, I mean, he's an elite run defender, first of all. He's 365-ish pounds, somewhere in that realm. He's just enormous. He's a mountain of a man, extremely powerful. Once he drops his anchor in a gap, you're not moving him. Two guys, three guys, five guys, it really doesn't matter. He's not going anywhere. He'll throw pick up and throw single blockers out of his way. Hands are very strong. He kind of uses them to catch more than he does to strike, so I'd like to see that get fixed. His eyes are always upfield. He's able to move blockers and reset the line of scrimmage. He can disengage to finish plays in his gap. The short area quickness for a guy his size is pretty surprising. He's able to finish out of his frame, which I didn't think he'd be able to do. Solid finisher. Like I said, his hands are really strong, and he pulverizes offensive linemen with his bull rush and his club move. He's a very high-level pocket collapser. I don't think Sweat's ever going to be a pass rusher, but he can definitely disrupt the quarterback by, for example, forklifting the center and throwing him into his lap. He's going to be disruptive, and I think some of the knocks on him, he can be a little bit slow timing the snap. He's usually one of the last guys out of his stance. The first step can be a bit sluggish. The initial punch, like I said, he kind of catches more than punches, and it can be a little bit slow at times. He'll run out of gas as a pass rusher at times pretty quickly, just because of his size. The stamina is an issue. There are questions about his work ethic and conditioning, which I think show up on tape. And he's probably at the NFL level, as guys get faster and more explosive, he's probably not going to be able to make a whole lot of plays outside of his gaps. And there's no real rush plan or counters. I mean, if you're drafting Sweat, you're not drafting him to be a pass rusher per se. You're hoping he can move the pocket a little bit and stop the run. To me, I mean, I think he's a two down zero technique or one technique. So he's a nose tackle. I think he can play in even or odd fronts. He's got the length. He's quick enough to be able to man multiple gaps, in my opinion. You're just not going to get much pass rush out of him. I have a 71 on him. I just have a hard time grading a guy who, even though he is an elite run defender, I have a hard time giving a guy who isn't going to offer any pass rush at much higher than a third round pick. But there's value there for sure, but I don't think he's ever going to be a three down guy, and the likelihood of him providing much of a pass rush is pretty slim.
Yeah. So Sweat was an interesting watch just because, like, he's not your typical 6'5", 360-pound nose tackle. But, I mean, then again, there's no such thing as a typical guy of that size. So, whatever. I think he developed so much in 23 that they decided they were going to make him a little bit more multiple and moved him around as more of a chess piece, in tandem with his teammate Murphy, who we'll get to next, I'm sure. But he played a little bit of 3-tech and 5. I noticed that on tape, specifically in 23, he looked like much less of a plotter. So like less than what you would expect with a guy that size. He moved pretty well laterally. His feet were actually very light. And so it showed that he could be more than just an upfield pocket pusher in college. Don't know how that's going to transfer to the next level, though, because there are going to have to be some significant changes to his game, whether it be weight, technique, whatever, what have you. But I'm not sure what this dude squats, but he uses every bit of his base when anchoring against double teams. He's quick enough and strong enough to actually split them, which was surprising. He's not just going to sit there and absorb the contact. He's still going to try to split them and make a play up the field. I mean, of course, he's a two-gapping tank, but you can see some of the growth as a pass rusher. I saw there were some instances where he was looking to, be a little bit more technical with his hands. In 22, it was really all about leaning on offensive linemen because he was so much larger than virtually every guy he went up against. But this past season, you could see a little bit of growth there. He put some time into developing some counters. They weren't great, but at least you could see him trying. He's still going to be primarily a power rusher at the next level. He has very heavy hands, but he doesn't always shoot them quickly enough to win off of the snap. So like you said, he's also more of a catcher. Some of these inconsistencies also show up, not just in the fact that his hands can be slow, but the fact that his pad level is not great. He has a tendency to pop right out of his stance at the snap. And when you're that large, you can't give an offensive lineman that much surface area to attack and have late hands. It just doesn't work well together. He's really only effective inside the box, like you mentioned. So, like, we're not talking like a Jordan Davis prospect. So don't expect like many backside chase down tackles or plays made like 5 to 8 yards beyond the line of scrimmage from like a trail position. It's not his game. The question is, can he be a three down player at the next level? And I'm just not sure that he can. Though the skills seem to have been growing as a pass rusher last season, I don't know how much of it's going to translate. And also at that size, how many snaps can you expect to play him before, like I mentioned previously, I forget who it was about earlier, before you start experiencing those diminishing returns? And the other thing that I don't love from a person this large is I didn't see much of a mean streak in his game. If a team that drafts him can find like his weight, like sweet spot, and pull more of that dog mentality out of him, you could be looking at one hellish all around interior defensive lineman. I just don't know if it's in him. So I guess the question really comes down to, it's really not even a question, because when he was fresh, I still didn't see him play with that same level of I didn't see the aggression there whatsoever, and it had nothing to do with the fact that maybe he was worn down or he ran all the gas out of the tank. He's not that type of a player. So I went back and forth with watching this tape. I feel like he can be effective if he does exactly what he's meant to do at that size at the next level, but his game's pretty limited. And that also means, like, do you want to spend a high draft pick on a guy that you may only be able to put on the field for early downs? There are things that I liked. I liked the improvement that I saw in the technical aspect of things. Again, you can develop that. And if you can get with the right team, right coaching staff, you might be able to make something out of it long term if you can, like I said before, find the perfect weight for him to where he doesn't gas himself out. So I have him graded at a 75, so a mid-third rounder.
All right. Well, those are our top five. Those are the guys that we watched. Actually, not our top five, I shouldn't say. Oh, we missed Murphy. You're right. Yep. All right. So why don't you talk to me a little bit about Murphy?
First things first, he is a little shorter than I thought he was. I think he measured out the combine at 6'5", so under 6'1". I already know he wasn't like the biggest guy, so he's under 300 pounds. But for a three tech, I mean, sure. Like, he has the ability to get upfield. He's quick and twitchy. But he also played a little 2 and 1, which is wild because he's just not the biggest guy. But he held his own. I was actually really impressed by it. Like, for an undersized interior defensive lineman, he must, like, hit Popeye spinach before the games because he's a strong cat. Instead of just trying to stalemate interior offensive linemen at the point of attack against the run, he'll often – I guess this is a term my kids say, he'll yeet them, which basically means tosses them to the side. And he'll meet a running back in the gap. So he's just not looking to create that contact and muddy things up. He's trying to get you out of there so he can make a play. He flashed a pretty staggering punch off the snap to go along with that first quick step. He understands leverage and how to defeat double teams. Again, it's not something that you want him consistently doing because he's not that, you know, level player as far as size goes. The motor is very consistent, which I appreciated. And I think, was he Big 12 defensive lineman of the year last year? Was that him or was that his teammate? I think it was Murphy that won. But yeah, I mean, as far as what he brings on the field, I feel like a lot of it has to do when you're playing next to a mammoth and you can generate one-on-ones. And if you're more athletic than the person in front of you, and it's not to take away from him, but he did benefit from having a house seated next to him, absorbing double teams, so he could probably play a little bit more free. So yeah, he was the beneficiary of that. I don't think the scheme diversity is quite there, so to me, he's definitely a three tech. Even though he showed the ability to identify and react to double teams early, like I said before, you definitely don't want him consistently taking those on. And a highly technical interior offensive lineman is going to whip him. He'll get buried and completely eliminated from plays just because he isn't that big. And so, again, it's a reoccurring thing with a lot of guys in this class. They just aren't stout. And I don't think he has enough tools in his belt as a pass rusher. Like, he'll win with power, and he'll struggle if he doesn't win with his initial pass rush plan. So, same thing I think we mentioned for another one of those guys, maybe one or two of these guys. They can get stalemated quite easily because they don't have great pass rush plans. And when you're talking about some of these schools with these high-level athletes, it makes you wonder how much technical refinement they're actually getting. Because once you get to this level and you're still winning off of one thing, whether it be athleticism or power, then you're not doing yourself that much of a service prior to getting to the next level. So I hope that's something that he's working on. But as far as what I saw from Murphy, I see the athleticism. I understand it. I like it. I just question how good he is not playing next to Sweat. But I didn't want to take anything away from him. He performed well. I like what I saw. So I gave him an 83, which comes down to like a lower second round pick. If he were to go higher, I wouldn't be shocked. If he went lower, I wouldn't be shocked.
Get out of my head, man. Come on. I thought we might disagree on this one. No, we're on the same page. I mean, Murphy played all up and down the line at Texas. He played some zero, played some 1, 3, 4, and 5. The lateral quickness to leap from gap to gap is outstanding. In my opinion, Murphy's at his best when he's asked to loop and stunt and twist from gap to gap. You mentioned the hands, very strong initial punch and active hands. Murphy does a really good job of using his hands to soften the edge when he's working from edge to edge. He has the length and strength to hold up versus double teams, although I don't think that's where you want him long term. He's way too quick for guards. When he's able to one gap and just penetrate, he's extremely quick for guards, and he shows the ability to convert speed to power with a bull rush. And he, in my opinion, I think he wins mostly with speed early, although you can see some power with the bull rush, and he'll win with effort late. He just has a really good motor and he just pushes and pushes and pushes to make plays. And there is a pretty good spin move there as well. I think even though he played 0-1 technique at Texas, it's not where he needs to be. He needs to be a 3 technique. He might also be able to play a 5 technique at the next level if he bulks up a little bit. I think that while the hands are really, they're strong and they're active, they're not overly refined. As the rep progresses, the hands will wane and he'll kind of stall out. If he doesn't win right away, he's pretty much done. The pad level also can be a bit high. I saw him get yanked off his feet several times because he kind of leans into blocks and the pad level wanes as reps go on. Murphy also has to work really hard to get home. Mm. And I think sometimes that struggle to finish or that work can give him a hard time finishing. He's kind of out of gas by the time he gets in a position to make a play. I think Murphy will also need to develop a rush plan and counters like we talked about at the next level. There's not a plan there. It's I'm going to push my way through you or I'm going to run by you. And that's pretty much it. And he's kind of like Jenkins for me. Lots of talk about him, about how he's going to be this great pass rusher at the next level. And lots of talk about how he's just going to be this phenomenal player and people are high on him. The production, in my opinion, does not match the tape. The reputation does not, the production doesn't match the reputation. Excuse me. You can see where he has a chance to be productive at the next level in the right role, but he just didn't really stand out to me. Like I watched him first and then I watched Newton and I was like in awe of Newton and just kind of bored with Murphy. I think he's more of a pocket pusher than he is a pass rusher. I think he's got to play 3 technique right away in the NFL. There's a chance he could be a successful 5 technique because of the power and the base. But he needs a lot of technical refinement, I think. And I think the rush plan and the counters need to develop to be successful at the next level.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with regard to the expectation. When I turn the tape on, I really thought I was going to see more from him. You kind of see his name starting to be a little bit more pronounced than even Newton's is, which I find to kind of be like one of those paralysis by analysis situations. Newton's name's always been there at the top. And then progressively as draft season has gone on, prospects start popping up. You see new names and then suddenly Johnny Newton isn't good anymore, even though he hasn't taken another snap since the end of the season. Never really makes sense. But yeah, Murphy, I wanted to see a lot more from. And again, as far as what he's going to be at the next level, definite 3 tech. It's just, I really even struggled giving him the 83. I felt like I was going to take credit away from him for, you know, again, playing next to Sweat, because that was a huge part of his success. He's got high athletic prowess, but you cannot ignore the fact that he played next to that guy and it made life a lot easier for him.
Yeah. I just expected a lot more. I heard a lot. I've seen people talking about him in the draft channel and Discord and being excited about him. And I don't know. It just kind of fell flat for me, unfortunately. All right. So we have finished our top 5. So why don't we go ahead and share, or we finished discussing the 5 guys that we reviewed. So why don't we go ahead and each of us share our top 5 and talk a little bit about how we think each of them fits with the Chargers. And then we can get into sleepers and wrap this up.
Yeah, that'll work. So as far as the order goes, I have Jerzan Newton, number 1 with 88 overall. Number 2 is Byron Murphy with an 83. Surprisingly, Dwayne Carter comes in at number 3 with 77. Savandre Sweat, 75 at 4. And Chris Jenkins rounds it out at 5 with a 75.
All right. So here are my top 5. My top 5 is Johnny Newton at 89. I've got Byron Murphy at number 2 with an 82. Chris Jenkins at number 3 with an 81. And my number 5 is somebody we didn't talk about. He's going to wind up being my sleeper, is Braden Fisk from Florida State, somebody who I really enjoyed watching. and think he's got a pretty fun role on passing situations at the next level. So, Craig, why don't you tell us who your sleeper is?
Well, hold up. Let me back up really quickly because I was only doing it based on the guys that we went over. So I got to rewind because Fisk is actually my fourth guy with a 76. So I have him above Tarajay Sweat as well. So just to run it back, Newton, number one, to 88. Murphy, number two, at 83. Carter, 77. Number three, Fisk, number four, at seven, with a 76. And then Tavondre Sweat rounds it out at five with a 75. So Chris Jenkins kind of is tied with Tavondre Sweat for that number five spot. But yeah, Fisk actually made it onto my list as well. As far as fits are concerned, Newton, I would take Newton in a heartbeat. Just depends on where they decide to go here in the draft. In a trade back scenario, if it's something that they'd be interested in, I wouldn't hate it just because he's an instant difference maker and he fits the mold of what I've been looking for from a defensive lineman for the Chargers. No, he won't be, huge in the run game with regards to being a run stuffer, but he's athletic enough and disruptive enough to where he can muddy things up for everyone else to make plays. So I'm fine with it. He doesn't have to be a huge guy in the middle as just kind of like a tree stump that's unmovable. He could serve a purpose in a different way, whereas he may not be the most physical against the run. He makes up for it more than enough as a pass rusher and also someone else who can be a complement in the run game by just, again, muddying things up and allowing other guys to get in the backfield. Byron Murphy, I don't see the fit. I just don't think he adds enough to the defense. I mean, again, if you put him next to a mountain, then yeah, he'll get after the quarterback. He'll be serviceable against the run, but I feel like he's one of those players that is more of a complimentary guy. You're not looking for him to be really a three down player, in my opinion, unless you're willing to pair him with like a really big time nose tackle that can take on double teams and free him up. Dwayne Carter is Mr. All Around for me. I'd snatch him in a heartbeat, move him up and down the line of scrimmage. He's got the ability to play the run. He's really good as a pass rusher. Yeah, like not high level athleticism, but still a really decent first step guy who can get upfield and really just muddy things up again. So when we're talking interior disruptors, not to the same level of Newton, but definitely someone who could be a difference maker. Fisk, who we didn't really talk about, but did make the list, really athletic guy also. Without getting into too much detail, because then we're doing a full-on review of him. I really like the fact that his motor is the thing that is the most amazing to me. It doesn't ever stop. He will run himself out of plays at times, but more often than not, he's in the right place at the right time. And he plays with kind of like this psycho mentality. You know, guys hate going up against him. It's just the thought of having to deal with that plan and play out and his ability to get upfield. He can get washed out plays sometimes because he can't take on double teams and, it just, again, the motor runs so hot that he gets himself out of position from time to time, but I can deal with that. As far as the fit for the Chargers, I kind of went back and forth on Fisk. I think it could work, but he's not ideal for me. So he's kind of right there on the fence. Tavondre Sweat. I think Jim Harbaugh might like him. I just don't know, for me, like I said before, if that's a guy that I would want to spend early round draft capital on, because I want my defensive lineman to be able to play three downs personally, even if they're not high level pass rushers and you have to have them in a rotation. They have to have a little of that in their bag and they can be a liability late in games. I need all those guys to be able to participate. And if you're going to have somebody that's a niche player, then you're probably going to want to take them later on, unless they're literally the best at what they do, which he would be against the run, for sure. But I just don't necessarily know that I would want him early or spending early round capital on that. You can find someone else who can sit down and take on blocks and potentially develop them into a better pass rusher down the line. So I wouldn't really do that with him. Chris Jenkins, trying to take the Michigan bias out of this. The tweener thing is weird because I don't want to contradict myself. I like what he does in the running game, but there's not enough there as a playmaker against the pass. And he doesn't create enough turmoil in the passing game to be somebody that I would feel comfortable with down in and down out. I struggle with Jenkins because I like parts of his game. I just don't know how much better he's going to get. I don't think his ceiling is super high. But Jim knows him. He's one of his guys. I wouldn't be shocked if Harbaugh took him without a second thought, just because he knows what he can produce as against the running game and the fact that you can move him up and down the line of scrimmage. And if you want to be able to be a team that plays against some of these, like, say, for instance, you come up against the Ravens and you need to have like a five-man front or five down linemen, you could feel really comfortable putting him on the edge as a solid edge setter, and you're not going to give up anything against the run. Probably won't get very much as a pass rusher, nor would you get a lot as a contain guy against a mobile quarterback or some of the more athletic running backs, but it's just kind of a non-answer. With Jenkins, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Jenkins is a tough one. I know they moved him up and down the line in college. I just don't know that you can do that in the NFL because of the tweener issue and because of the fact that he doesn't offer any pass rush. So I think you'd have to be really strong. Like, for example, if he was playing five technique, he'd have to be really strong on the other side just to get some pass rush out of it. I'm sure Jim thinks he fits because he excelled in his system at Michigan. I just don't know how that translates to the NFL. So I think, you know, if you're talking about the five guys that we've covered, I think Newton is the best fit because he's a three technique. I think he'll be able to play some five technique in certain situations. He might even be able to play some base end, and he's murder as a pass rusher. And I think that's something that you need on the inside. It's something the Chargers have lacked on the inside forever. They had some success with Fox. But that was more stunts and twists and not really winning one-on-ones. Newton's going to murder guards at the next level. So he's a great fit, in my opinion. Jenkins, to me, is a guy who, like you mentioned, I don't know what the fit is. I'm sure Jim thinks it's there. I just don't know how it translates to the NFL. I would not take him. Would it surprise me if they did? No, but I would not. Carter, to me, is a guy who I think fits really well. Because he can play three technique, I think he's going to be able to play some five technique, maybe play some base end. I think you can move him up and down the line. And I think with proper coaching, he's going to be a really, really good pass rusher at the next level. Sweat is a hard pass for me unless you're talking about like after the fourth round. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even consider it. Murphy, to me, I think is a guy who's really going to struggle unless he lands in exactly the right spot. So I would not. For me, I don't think Murphy really fits because I don't know what he does at the next level that you can cling to and say that's his thing. Right now, it's not pass rushing. It's not really run defending. I don't know. I don't know how it pans out. So I think Carter and Newton are the two best fits out of the five that we talked about. So let's go ahead. You already kind of talked about my sleeper. You stole my thunder a little bit, but I'm going to talk about Fisk. And we'll get our sleepers out of here and then we'll get out of here. So for me, I love Fisk, and I love Fisk for exactly what you said. The motor. The motor is nonstop. He is going 110 miles an hour on every play. And after watching Murphy stick to guys, that was just something that I clung to. His first step is fantastic. His hands are super active and heavy. He's another guy who has a pretty well-developed rush, set of counters. He's got a swim move, a stab move, and a bull rush. He uses his hands and hips to soften the edge really well. He's effective on slant, stunts, and twists. I mean, he's going to be really, really good, stunting and twisting at the NFL level, if he's paired with a solid edge that that offenses have to respect. Really good understanding of how to cross the face and find the edge of interior offensive linemen. Really good finisher, both inside and outside of his frame. Uses his length to peek around blockers and find ball carriers. Really good gap-to-gap quickness. The motor never stops, like I said. Great source of energy and hustle. Closes quickly, never takes a playoff. I think the weakness is he doesn't have great length, so he's going to have to be perfect with his hands. He's a little undersized. He's not a guy who you want taking on double teams, and I'm not really sure how much, at least early, you're going to want him on the field in running situations. The play strength is kind of below average, and he gets pushed around in the run game a bit. Certainly not stout enough to take on double teams. He lacks counters when he doesn't win early, and he has to win with precise hands to overcome his length issues, like I mentioned. He can play high and get knocked off balance. Sometimes it's like he's a little frenetic. He's out of control, and he gets thrown off balance because he's so out of control trying to get to the quarterback that he just kind of gets thrown around. And he can get swallowed up when he's forced to take on larger offensive linemen head on. But I think the energy, the pass rush ability, the ability to split gaps, split double teams, and get to the quarterback is something that you obviously value for an interior offensive lineman or defensive lineman, excuse me. And somebody who I think you can get, I have him graded fairly high after watching this defensive tackle class. I think you could probably get him a little bit later. I gave him a 78 and he wound up as my fifth rated defensive tackle. Just a fun watch and a guy who I think kind of easy to fall in love with because of the motor and the hustle and the energy and the ability to get to the quarterback from the interior.
Yeah, just to throw a couple more things in there, I like Fisk also. Just now having a chance to look back at my notes. He actually, I don't know if you caught it or not, he has the double swipe move in his bag, popularized by the Boses. I've not seen another college player really do it, but specifically not on the interior. But he's actually got it down pretty well, and he has a really nasty, like, combo club and arm over move too. Also, you know, he blew the combine up. So when I finally went back and watched him on tape, it made sense. I mean, the dude finished in the top three or five of the seven tests. I just thought maybe he's an athletic freak and it didn't translate, but he moves just as well on the field, you know, in game. So the tape lines up. As far as my sleeper, my guy's going to be Mason Smith from LSU. So 6'5", 306-pound interior defensive lineman. So let's just kind of start with the arm length, 35 inches. That'll definitely play.
Telephone poles.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's more of what you're looking for from like a traditional interior defensive lineman from a size profile. He's a decent athlete for his size, but he really uses like the length as a striker, and he can set an edge in addition to plug in side gaps. So there is a little bit of versatility there. I mean, he played everything from nose to five tech. So he flashed it. It wasn't great because he's super raw, but he showed the ability to do it. Really naturally strong, and he really doesn't have a problem anchoring down against double teams to allow one-on-ones for his brothers on the interior to make plays, and so he can also keep guys at the second level clean. When he gets his hands inside, he can steer almost any offensive lineman. Because of the length, he can create that separation. He can just really drive guys and make it hard for them to get any part of him. So he has that ability. And there's a ton of untapped potential. He's literally unmolded clay. So a really good defensive line coach is going to have his work cut out for him because he is so raw. But it's just the physical ability you can't overlook there. He dealt with an injury his sophomore year. It's an ACL tear. I want to say, was it the first game that he suffered in? I can't quite remember. But I don't know if that affected some of his explosiveness this year because he's not especially twitchy. Well, just this past season, he wasn't. It looked like some of that athleticism had been sapped. As a freshman, I think I saw more of it. So it could have something to do with the ACL tear, but you know, we'll see moving forward. He's definitely not a technician. He relies really, really heavily on God-given talent, which, you know, you can get away with at college, especially when you like have that length and size. He probably should have returned for his redshirt junior year, to be honest. There's so much more to develop, and he's such a gifted player, just like from the size profile, and to be able to further develop that technique, he probably would have been a much higher draft pick going into next year, but I guess, you know, he had his own personal reasons. This might sound a little crazy, but this is what I saw. Like, he has a ceiling of a Jeffrey Simmons from what I saw on tape from an athletic standpoint and what he could potentially be if he hooks up with the right defensive line coach. He absolutely should have gone back to LSU last year. So if you take a guy like this, you have to keep in mind, you're going to have to invest some time and energy into him. And, you know, I think you're going to reap the rewards if you can put him on your roster, help him grow, And in 2 to 3 years, you're looking at a solid contributor, and maybe a year or two down the line after that, a full-time starter who's a difference maker on your team. But right now, it's just very, very raw. I gave him a mid-fourth round grade with the 65. It's just the tools are there, and they just need to be developed. Strangely enough, he's also a better rusher from five tech as opposed to on the interior. But a lot of that also has to do with his length. He's not super bendy, but he just really gets after tackles and tight ends, and he can just do what he wants with them on the edge. Just that length is really, really to his advantage, and he knows how to use it. Again, not a superior athlete, but I think after he just puts a little bit more work in on that recovery from that ACL, some more time on task, he'll get some of that back. I mean, it's an ACL tear. We've seen guys come back from worse. He's a young athlete, so I'm sure his body will build back up in no time. But I'd like to take a later round flyer on him, fourth, fifth round. If you have that extra fourth round pick, it might be worth a shot. Just depends on what you pull off here early in the draft. And we're talking about if the Chargers stick and pick with what they currently have, which who knows if they're going to do that or not. But I like Mason as a player for what he can be right now. A little up in the air, though.
All right. Well, everybody, that is the end of our defensive tackle show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let's take a couple minutes to take a couple questions. Do we have any questions about the defensive tackles? Any questions at all?
I think I see someone asked about Jordan Jefferson. I didn't get a chance to study Jefferson. His name popped up, but haven't looked into him yet. Is that Gabriel? Sorry, Gabriel. I haven't had a chance to check him out yet.
I haven't had a chance to watch him either.
Okay, yeah. He's asking, are we talking Jordan Jefferson or Mason Smith? Yeah, I was talking about Mason Smith.
I did see a question that I wanted to answer. Let's see if I can find it. There was a question about how early we thought they should take a defensive tackle. Let me see if I can find it. There we go. How early would you guys be okay with the Bolts taking a defensive tackle? What do you think, Craig?
Well, things currently stand. I feel like if you don't sign something in free agency, I haven't checked to see what's out there. I can't imagine there's anything great left over. I'd say you got to do something within the first three rounds. You just have to add not just bodies, but someone that's capable in the run game. Because as you can see, like they went ahead and re-signed Denzel Perriman. We know what Denzel does, so you know that there's a commitment to stopping the run there. So they're going to need some more interior depth. And someone's that is adept at stopping the run. So I would say somewhere within the first three picks.
That's a little scary because I think if you look at the roster, they need a wide receiver, a center, a corner, a defensive tackle, all within the first three picks. And that's four positions and maybe even a right tackle. So a bit of an issue there. But yeah, I was going to say third round. I'd start looking in the third round, I think. Unless by some miracle Newton were to fall to the second and you could get him at 37. I'm not sure I want to take anybody else in the second round short of a trade back. But yeah, I'd start looking in the third round, I think.
I see a question there. It's from James asking about, what is that? Do you like any lower end guys better than Jerod Clark? That caught my attention because we know I'm a huge Jerod Clark guy. What do you think, Jamie?
I didn't really see anybody that stood out. Keep in mind, we don't spend all day every day watching tape. So, I don't know how many lower end guys you got to, Craig, but my list wasn't terribly deep. So
no, I mean, when we're talking lower end, I guess it just depends on where people rate some of these names. But I mean, we looked at it and he almost made the list. But after watching him for a little bit, we realized he shouldn't be there. Michael Hall Jr. from Ohio State. When you're saying lower end,
Yeah.
For me, he's more lower end. Would I like him more than Gerard Clark? No, because literally I can't tell you what he's good at. I'm not sure. I mean, I know that they tout his athleticism, but honestly, I don't think you could put him on the field even in an early rotation quite yet. So if you consider him one of the later guys, then I would definitely go Gerard Clark, because not only is Gerard Clark a bigger body, he showed some pass rushing chops that he was developing. He didn't get to see the field last season, but I think his name gets lost in the shuffle because he's more of a developmental player. But there's an opportunity for him to see the field again as a pocket collapser. When we're talking pass rush, he's more of a pocket collapser to get after the quarterback, but I think he'd be good to do both. So, yeah, give me Mr. Clark over a guy like Hall any day.
Yeah, I mean, they're totally different players.
Yeah.
Hall's the guy who I think teams are going to look at as a pass rusher, probably a three tech. Lots of things to clean up there with him. But, you know, if you like the first step, you like the athleticism, the ability to split gaps, there's a guy who I think, you know, there's a fit for him somewhere. But if you're looking for a run stuffer, if you're looking for like a legitimately sized defensive tackle who can go hang in the middle and take on double teams and stuff runs, I think, you know, you'd rather stick with Travis, with Gerard Clark, in my opinion.
Specifically for this style of defense that they're going to be running, Clark also makes more sense.
Yeah, I don't really know that they need or want a traditional like zero or one technique who's going to stand, who's just there to hold up double teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's what they're looking for. So, and this is a question from M. Woe. He says, who's the best one tech defensive tackle, like the Travis Jones of this year's class? Of the guys we watched, I would say probably Tavondre Sweat is like the prototypical nose tackle.
0-1 tech, yeah.
Yeah. Most of these guys, like we mentioned at the top of the show, most of these guys are 280 to 290, not really built to last taking on double teams in the middle of a defense.
No.
All right, we'll take two more questions and then we'll get out of here. Let's see, anything else? I did see a question I wanted to ask here, or a question I wanted to answer from Nick. He says, do you guys want Perriman back with the Bolts? What do you think, Craig?
Do I love it? No. I understand, number one, because they still need to grow out that linebacker room. There weren't much in the way. Like, Deion Henley hasn't had an opportunity to really prove himself to this point. So I don't know that you can go into next season just assuming he's going to be your number one. Well, you know, definitely your main interior linebacker, off-ball linebacker. He's going to need a running mate. We know Deion is really good in coverage. He flies around. He can tackle. He's a pretty sure tackler, but not necessarily as stout on the inside. We know that's what Perriman does. So to me, it makes sense to have him there as you're transitioning maybe to another player, which is why there's a one-year deal that he just signed. That makes sense. So he's not long for his tenure here this time around. But I don't hate it. I just, you know, it's not exciting. But he's been a proven player here. Only issue is, like, of course, we know what comes with Denzel, lots of injuries. And he's a limited linebacker. He's not got much range, but he'll definitely be serviceable in the run game. So it's more of a Band-Aid.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of how they're approaching a lot of pretty much all of free agency right now, is they're trying to fatten up the middle and end of the roster by bringing in depth and experience. And I think that's what you see with I think his name is Travis Dye, the linebacker they signed from Minnesota, mm-hmm. Special teams guy who they promised to have a shot at competing for a linebacker spot. Then they go out and they sign Perriman. They're just trying to get some steady performers who they can rely on to make a tackle or make a play when they need to. Do I love bringing Perriman back? No, but it's a one-year deal. They didn't throw a bunch of money at him. I think bringing Perriman back kind of, I mean, I'm, I'm speculating here, but you sign Dye, you sign Perriman. It seems to me like they're kind of telling us what they think of Henley. I don't know how much we're going to see of Henley this year. So we'll see what happens, but they're just building depth. And I think that's what they need. The previous regime focused on building the roster from the top down. It seems like this regime is really trying to build the roster from the bottom up, which I think should make them, which should help them last longer moving forward.
Do you think it's more of an indictment on Henley and where they see him moving forward, or the fact that there just isn't a lot to go off of at this point? So they're essentially hedging a little.
I mean, I'm sure they're hedging. I mean, it's a smart move, right? Like you said, there's nothing, there's no tape really to go off of with Henley. What did he get in for? He played what, maybe 10 plays on defense this year, if that.
Garbage time.
Yeah. So they need bodies. You know, they can't go into the season with Henley. They can't go into the season with Niemann. So they need to get some experience. They need to get some depth. So I think in that regard, it's a good signing. It may not be so much of an indictment of Henley as just a, we don't really know what to expect, so we need to fill in around him, which is the right thing to do because they don't know what to expect. My only concern is, as Dennis pointed out, one, he's always hurt. Two, he just got suspended last year for dirty hits. And three, he's kind of a friendly fire guy. So those are the concerns with me. But in terms of being able to tackle guys in front of him and read a defense and make plays, I think Perriman will be steady in the middle of the defense, even if he isn't a superstar or going to be a huge playmaker.
Yeah, I think they're going to use him to shoot gaps against the run and get downhill, create lots of tackles for loss. I mean, Perriman's stumpy, muscular build, stout guy in that way. But, you know, as far as what he does at the second level, he's not super rangy, but you do want to allow him to kind of knife in there and between those gaps and create plays. So I think that'll be his role.
Fair enough. All right, guys, I think that's it. We've already kept it here for an hour and 20 minutes, and I'm sure we've all got families to get to. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in. Just a reminder to subscribe and like us on YouTube. If you haven't already, go ahead and join the Discord. Lots of fun in there. Lots of good football conversations. We appreciate all of you. Thank you for tuning in on a Sunday. Hope you enjoyed the content, and we will see you guys next time.
Salute.